Okay, selected messages, volume 3, page, let's see, 249. Subheading, the clothes Seventh-day Adventist ministers wear. And it says, I guess it's quoting Ephesians 3, verses 6 and 7. It says that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister, according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power, whereof I was made a minister. And she says, whereof I was made a minister, not merely to present the truth to the people, but to carry it out in life. And there's a lot of TV preachers that actually echo the statement, do as I say, not as I do. You know, like Benny Hinn handing the guy some heroin, I think it was poppy or opium. And then that guy dies of a heroin overdose, the other guy did, because he was doing heroin. So do as I say, not as I do. That's how they usually are. But she goes on to say, but it is not this only. There are other things to be considered, in which some have been negligent, but which are of consequence in the light in which they have been presented before me. Carefulness in dress is an important item. There has been lack here with ministers who believe present truth. The dress of some has been untidy. Not only has there been a lack of taste and order in arranging the dress in a becoming manner upon the person, and in having a color suitable and becoming for a minister, but the apparel of some have been even slovenly. Okay. Another one of them there words, so guess what I'm going to do? I am going to go to freedictionary.com. Thefreedictionary.com, I guess. Let me hit it. Hit search. See how she pronounced, or this they pronounce it.
Slovenly.
Yeah, slovenly, and that's American. Now here's...
Slovenly.
That's British. Untidy. That's what it means. Okay, so today's world would more or less be sloppy. So she says, some ministers wear a vest of light color while their pants are dark, or a dark vest and light pants, with no taste or orderly arrangements of the dress upon the person when they come before the people. These things are preaching to the people. Now, she's not, of course, an advocate for fashion, because we know what she says about fashion in regards to women. This is more or less respectful, I would think, in that respect. Like for example, on Sabbath day, when I come before the microphone here, even though I don't have a camera on me, I have a tie on. You know, I don't wear a suit jacket because it's a little bit too warm. I have a suit jacket, but I just don't put it on. I usually have a short sleeve shirt, a tie, slacks, and dress shoes. And that's how I preach every Sabbath. Now, even tomorrow, because tomorrow Brother Craig's preaching, and I'll still be wearing the tie because I got to teach. So anyway, and even if I didn't have the teacher preach, it's Sabbath. I am going to be wearing the tie. So anyway, she says, the minister gives them an example of order and sets before them the propriety of neatness and taste in their apparel, or he gives them lessons in slackness and lack of taste, which they will be in danger of following. Okay, and then this next one's titled Attire Appropriate for the Pulpit. Now, I never knew this, but this is kind of like the way I am, too. Black slacks, black jacket. I might have a white shirt or a gray shirt with a black tie. But, you know, that's nice. That's the way I prefer it. But she says here, black or dark material is more becoming to a minister in the desk and will make a better impression upon the people than would be made by a combination of two or three different colors in his apparel. Now, have you ever seen some of the preachers of today on TV? Some of them don't even wear a tie. They look like something out of Hollywood. They're getting up, they're all fashioned out in really flashy clothing, and it's just like, oh, man. Preacher-tainers, that's all they are. No, I don't think ties are pagan. I really don't know, but I know that James White wore a tie. She goes on to say, I was pointed back to the children of Israel anciently and was shown that God had given specific directions in regard to the material and style of dress to be worn by those who ministered before him. And you're, if you've done a study on the sanctuary, I mean, right down to every stitch of clothing, it's described in the scriptures for the high priest and even, you know, just some of the workers in the sanctuary. So it's important. There's reasons for it. And she says, the God of heaven, whose arm moves the world, who sustains us and gives us life and health, has given us evidence that he may be honored or dishonored by the apparel of those who officiate before him. He gave special directions to Moses in regard to everything connected with his service. He gave instruction even in regard to the arrangement of their houses and specified the dress which those should wear who were to minister in his service. They were to maintain order and everything. And now look up in the heavens at night. Go outside. Look at the stars. There's order. Go looking on a beach and pick up a shell. And look at the order in the design. I mean, it's just, there's order everywhere. Look at the rings on a tree cut in half. He's a God of order. So, we should respect that. He's neat and tidy. There's nothing wrong with it. So, this next section is titled, The Right Impressions Might Be Made. And it says, there was to be nothing slack and untidy about those who appeared before him when they came into his holy presence. And why was this? What was the object of all this carefulness? Was it merely to recommend the people to God? Was it merely to gain his approbation? The reason that was given me was this, that a right impression might be made upon the people. If those who ministered in sacred office should fail to manifest care and reverence for God in their apparel and their deportment, the people would lose their awe and their reverence for God and his sacred service. And this is one of the reasons you see what you see today on the TV with the street, you know, TV preachers are in all the churches, including the SDA church, where they're all just very, you know, laid back in their clothing. And the overwhelming majority of them don't even kneel before the people when they pray at the beginning or the end of the service. They won't even kneel. So they're teaching the people, hey, you know, just, God is just, you know, one of the guys, you know, just, you want to pray? Okay, pray. If you don't, okay, fine. No big deal to them. She says, if the priests showed great reverence for God by being very careful and very particular as they came into his presence, I mean, let me ask you this. And let's go back about 20 years because some people actually have respect for Ronald Reagan, even though he too was a very corrupt politician and a Hollywood icon to boot. But let's just say if you didn't know any of that and you thought he was, you know, all that, you know, was, or let's just say George Washington, even though he was a Mason, okay, they all had problems. But let's just say the president of the United States of America, if you had no idea how bad politics were, was coming over to your house, would you put on a suit and tie? Yeah. Okay, now let's just say that you've decided to hold home church in your house. Would you wear a suit and a tie? No, why not? I'll just wear my pajamas. I'm not even going to bother to get dressed. You know, why? That makes no sense. If you're inviting the creator of the universe, you should show respect. People show more respect for their fellow man than they do the creator of their fellow man sometimes. Anyway, she says, if the priests showed great reverence for God by being very careful and very particular as they came into his presence, it gave the people an idea of God and his requirements. It showed them that God was holy, that his work was sacred, and that everything in connection with his work must be holy, that it must be free from everything like impurity and uncleanliness, and that all defilement must be put away from those who approach nigh to God, or near to God. This next one, the minister's dress in the truth, it says, is the title, and it says, from the light that has been given me, there has been a carelessness in this respect. I might speak of it as Paul presents it. It is carried out in will worship and neglecting of the body. But this voluntary humility, this will worship and neglecting of the body, is not the humility that savors of heaven. That humility will be particular to have the person and actions and apparel of all who preach the holy truth of God right and perfectly proper, so that every item connected with us will recommend our holy religion. The very dress will be a recommendation of the truth to unbelievers. It will be a sermon in itself. And how many times have you heard from this pulpit that sometimes you might be the only Bible some people read, especially the women, because women are tempted more so than men when it comes to fashion and wearing things you shouldn't wear. We all know this. All girls go through this. But think about that. You're out on the street. Let's say you're in a town. You don't think anybody knows you. And you're wearing something you know you shouldn't wear, and you figure you're safe because nobody there knows you, and they don't know you're a Christian. But your father knows you're there. And he'll make it a point to, if you need to be corrected or humbled, someone you might know might see you without you realizing it. I remember one time, as a matter of fact, somebody that was in my church family called me one day. Without realizing, they called me. Because they had called me a lot. You know, I guess I was on their speed dial. And they pushed the wrong button, thinking I was the pizza place. And when they called, I knew who it was, so I figured, they were joking around or whatever. I picked up the phone and said hello, and I go, yeah, I want to order such and such and such a pizza. I says, you're kidding. You do realize you dialed the wrong number, right? And very colorful words came after that, and then the phone hung up. That person never knew that they just said all those naughty words to someone that usually sat in a pew next to them at church. Well, a few days later they knew. But anyway, the Matthew 18 thing, gently, of course. Well, she goes on, a minister who is negligent in his apparel often wounds those of good taste and refined sensibilities. Those who are faulty in this respect should correct their errors and be more circumspect. The loss of some souls at last will be traced to the untidiness of the minister. The first appearance affected the people unfavorably because they could not in any way link his appearance with the truths he presented. His dress was against him, and the impression given was that the people whom he represented were a careless set who cared nothing about their dress, and his hearers did not want to do anything with such a class of people. And in today's world, sometimes that's kind of important for a lot of people. So, dress accordingly. And then this next one says, the plane of minister's work judged by his dress. And she says, some who minister in sacred things so arrange their dress upon their persons that, to some extent at least, it destroys the influence of their labor. There is an apparent lack of taste in color and neatness of fit. What is the impression given by such a manner of dress? It is that the work in which they are engaged is considered no more sacred or elevated than common labor or plowing in the field. In other words, I'm just going to throw on anything. No big deal. She says, the minister, by his example, brings down sacred things upon a level with common things. Now, you notice what she's doing here. She's not talking about fashion so as to get the oohs and the ahs out of the crowd. She's talking about dressing in such a way as to show respect to God. In other words, you don't go up on a pulpit in a t-shirt, in jeans. All right? Amen. Reverence. Yeah, there you go. So, finishing up this section, she says, the influence of such preachers is not pleasing to God. Amen and amen. I wonder if this is the end of the chapter. Nope, but we're right there. Let me just go up another page and see how much further we got to go here. So, let me lock this into the clipboard and keep it going here. Let's see. Nope. Four more pages, so it'll take us another half an hour at least, so may as well save it for next week. I hope and pray you were blessed. The next week we'll start off where it says, on making the dress question a test.